The FBI in Peace and War. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, Jailbait.
Gee, the Blue Ponds Hotel, Hollywood, California. I can't hardly believe it, Lily.
Hey, look at it in the sports cars, Gary Cooper.
Amy, will you please stop saying, hey, look at it?
Okay, Lily.
You take the gum out of your mouth.
Okay. Hey, look at it in the swimming pool, Mala Powers, I'll bet you.
Amy.
Huh?
You know what you sound like?
What, Lily?
Like an 18-year-old juvenile delinquent from Scranton, Pennsylvania, whose father was a coal miner.
That's what I am. Except my old man was never sober enough to be a coal miner.
All right, that's what you were. Now you're an 18-year-old beauty from Appledale, Ohio, who's coming to California.
Hey, Lily, could I really be a starlet? I mean, have I got what it takes?
Yes, you have.
I have?
Only you're not going to knock your brains out trying to beat the movie racket.
Well, I probably wouldn't be much good as an actress anyway. I was in the police lineup once, and I was scared stiff.
Amy, don't you ever mention
the... I didn't do anything, Lily. Honest. It was this boy I was going with. He was swiping cars.
Amy, you're from Appledale, Ohio, and if you slip up just once, I'll send you back to that bean wagon where I found you. And come away from that window. We're going shopping.
Yeah, what for?
It's some sweet, innocent clothes for you, so you don't look like last year's sweater girl.
What's the matter with sweaters? It gets chilly night.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, sweaters gives me feminine appeal.
I know.
So what's the matter with that?
Nothing, only the gentleman who's going to meet you accidentally happens to go for another type of feminine appeal.
I'm going to meet a gentleman?
Why do you think I brought you 3,000 miles?
Oh, Lily.
A gentleman who is especially attracted to young girls, a star of stage, screen, and television.
Who, Lily?
Handsome, dashing.
Who?
Roland Carter. You're kidding. I am not.
He's 60 years old.
He is not.
Oh, he was even in pictures before they talked.
He's only 57.
And I heard he's got a glass eye.
He has not got a glass eye. He's still one of the most attractive bachelors in Hollywood. And what's more, he's got $2 million in the bank.
$2 million? No kidding.
Or more.
You're sure he's not 60?
I'm sure he likes pretty young girls, and that's all I've got to be sure of. Now, how would you like to come unglued from that window and go shopping?
Okay. Hey, look it. Mala Powers just took off her beach cape. Oh, isn't she gorgeous?
Lily Howard Sanders was the most active of all female swindlers on our wanted list. The scope of her activities could never be confined to the small printed matter on a wanted poster. In 25 years, she covered the field from selling the Romanian crown jewels to forgery. During the winter of 1956, Lily befriended a young girl in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and together they traveled to California. Lily's scheme this time was a pleasant variant of blackmail.
Blackmail? Oh, now, really, Mindy, aren't you going a little overboard?
I'm just trying to protect you, Roland, as your personal agent and I hope your personal friend.
Mindy, this is a sweet, innocent little child, Miss Appledale, Ohio.
Ha! Huh.
Oh, she's really quite naive. Do you know that she's...
Naive? So where did you meet her? In a fancy bar. So what is a sweet, innocent, naive apple knocker doing all alone in a fancy bar? Tell me.
I explained to you she was waiting for someone.
Like who?
Oh, now, Mindy, all that was 2 weeks ago. How can I remember who she was waiting for?
You don't have to. I'll tell you. She was waiting for you.
Oh, now, really?
Just like that sweet, innocent little Johnson girl who was waiting for you on a beach and it cost you $10,000. And that sweet, innocent little thing you met last year in Acapulco. And all those other sweet...
Mindy, you are a man of little faith and less honor, so let's stop talking about Amy.
I'll bet she isn't even 18 years old.
Well, I can't help it if I'm attractive to the younger type.
Okay, Roland, I guess there's no use arguing. But don't say I didn't warn you. Because I didn't. I know how useless it is.
Well, then why did you come all the way out here?
I got 10% of you. I figured maybe 10% would listen anyway.
When Lily left Scranton, she obtained the necessary traveling expenses by selling some forged stock certificates to a restaurant owner named Gus Emilios. When Mr. Emilios discovered the deception, he yelled loudly for the police, who referred the complaint to our bureau. When we showed Mr. Emilios Lily's picture, he identified her readily.
Sure, that's the one. She gave me a special price on 11,000 shares of Canada Northwest Uranium Incorporated of Canada.
11,000 shares?
11,000 shares. Special price, 17.5 cents a share.
Mr. Emilio.
Yeah, I know what you're going to ask. My wife has the same thing. Why do I buy this stock? Why? Yes, why? I'll tell you why.
Mr. Emilio.
Because in my whole life, I never owned 11,000 shares of anything. That's why.
Mr. Emilio, did you pay for this stock in cash?
Cash? Sure, all cash. $1,925, but I don't care about the money.
Uh-oh.
No, what makes me sore, she takes Amy with her.
Amy?
Amy. All the fellows from the factory, they eat here so Amy can wait on them. Every day I get fellows waiting for Amy's table. Now, no Amy, all I got is table.
I see.
I gather that this Amy...
Yes. She's what the boys from the factory call a dish. To me, she's better than a neon sign, and that woman takes her away to California.
California? Well, how do you know?
Amy sends me a postcard from some Chinese theater. You want to see?
We sure do.
Yeah, here, you can read. Dear Gus, I'm sorry I had to leave so quick. Give my love to all the boys and you too. Love, Amy. P.S. I don't know why they call this a Chinese theater. Love, Amy.
May we have that card, Mr. Emilios?
Well...
It may help to find Mrs. Sanders.
And Amy.
Okay, you take it. And if you find Amy, you tell her I'm not mad. She can have her job back and keep all the tips for herself.
Back to Jailbait in just a moment. My name is Warren P. Birchfield, friendly young druggist, with another story of blessed relief thanks to Johnson's Backblasters. Today's episode concerns E.L., an active young counter spy who came into my store recently.
Hello, friendly. Anything for a muscular backache?
Oh, how'd that happen?
I can't divulge that. Friendly, I'd like to. I can tell you it hurts plenty.
Well, here, this Johnson's Backblaster makes it possible to treat muscular backache as easily as you would a headache, E.L.
That's right. Don't use my name. Say, this warm flannel backing gives me support, along with soothing heat. Now I'll be able to continue my active counter-spying while enjoying blessed relief. Thank you.
And Elmer Litzinger...
Hey, you weren't going to use my name.
E.L. did continue his active spy work. Friends, next time muscular backache strikes you, why not say as others do, suffering quickly relieved. Thanks to Johnson's Backblaster.
Hey, you weren't going to use my name. And now, Act Two of tonight's story, Jailbait.
We asked the Los Angeles police to keep an eye out for Lily, and having to testify in another court case in Los Angeles Federal Court, Agent Reynolds and I took a plane west. Lily, of course, was working on a new swindle involving a one-time movie idol named Roland Carter.
Yes, this is Mr. Carter. Who is this, please?
This is Miss Lily Sanders. Mr. Carter, I'd like to talk to you about a personal matter.
Well, I'm very sorry, Miss Sanders.
Inspector, you and a young lady from Appledale, Ohio, I think you'd better see me, Mr. Carter.
Sit down, Miss Sanders.
Thank you.
May I offer you a drink?
No, thanks. I'm not staying long. I just want to get a few facts about the romance, and then I'll let you alone.
The romance?
between you and the young lady who calls herself Miss Amy Brewster. Actually, her name is Brisky. Her family's Polish.
Miss Sanders, I don't think it's quite improper to ask, but just who are you and what do you want?
Perfectly fair question. I'm a freelance writer, Mr. Carter, and I hope to sell the story of you and Amy to one of the more intimate magazines.
I see.
Now, where did you meet?
Miss Sanders.
Yes?
You'd rather sell this story directly to me, wouldn't you?
Well, it would do away with any chance of a rejection slip, wouldn't it?
Yes, yes, it would. However, I'm going to disappoint you, Miss Sanders. There's nothing to the story. Miss Brewster is merely a friend.
Who happens to have spent considerable time in the police lineup in her hometown of Scranton, Pennsylvania.
What? Huh?
You can examine the police records if you doubt it.
Amy? Amy? That sweet
little... That's right. I don't know how she latched on to you, but it will certainly make an interesting story for one of those little gossip weeklies. Did you know, Mr. Carter, that Amy won't be 18 for another 2 months?
Oh, I don't believe it.
I have a copy of her birth certificate, if it's necessary to use it.
Miss Sanders, what is the usual price for your stories?
Well, I'll leave that up to you, Mr. Carter. But seeing as your studio is kind of touchy on the subject of you and young girls...
How much?
Well, I won't be insulted if you offer me $10,000.
With the Los Angeles police on the lookout for Lily, Agent Reynolds and I arrived in the city early on a Thursday morning for our day in court. We didn't know, of course, that Lily's newest swindle was progressing satisfactorily at that precise moment.
$10,000.
Cash.
And Miss Appledale is really Miss Cole Heaver of Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Age 17 years, 10 months.
Roland, I'm not going to say there's no fool like an old fool, because if people knew your real age, I couldn't peddle you for peanuts.
Mindy, you say anything you want. I deserve it.
Have you got the $10,000 cash?
Well, of course.
Are you going to pay it?
Well, what else can I do? I've been seen all over town with this child. Who would believe that an innocent association...
Roland.
Mindy, I swear I never touched a hair of her pure little head.
Why?
Why?
I'm asking a civil question.
Well, frankly, I don't know. She talks an awful lot, and the moment never seemed opportune, if you know what I mean.
She's cagey.
Well, I suppose that's about it.
So what does she talk about?
Movies. She's struck by the glamour of the cinema.
Yeah?
Hollywood is all.
Yeah?
Also, she's interested in a sports car, a mink coat, a liberal assortment of diamonds, and a substantial part in my next picture.
Yeah?
But what do you keep saying, yeah?
I'm thinking.
Yeah?
Yeah. Listen, I bet if I got her a screen test or something, she'd stop this blackmail idea.
Mindy, I keep telling you, it isn't her. She doesn't know about this Sanders.
Roland, for all your years, you are sometimes an innocent schmo yourself.
Would you think that Amy and this woman...
Of course.
You know, Mindy...
Yeah, I know. People are horrible.
Who's that? Oh, that's Amy. Amy, I invited her for lunch.
You what?
Well, I thought maybe I could persuade her to take a 6 month tour of Africa or something.
Okay. She's here, so let's seize the opportunity.
Now, you can't have her done away with, Mindy. I just won't stand for that.
You let me handle this. Go ahead, open the door, introduce me.
Good morning, Amy, dear. We have company, so don't say anything you wouldn't say to your mother. Amy, this is my agent, Mr. Mindy Smith.
Hello, Mr. Smith. I've heard all about you.
How do you... I've heard a lot about you, Amy. Roland, you didn't tell me this girl is positively screen material.
Mindy, wait till the child sits down, will you? Amy, may I have your coat, dear? Mindy... Stop staring. Miss Brewster will think that you haven't any manners.
Back to jailbait in just a moment. I was called to Moscow to be cleared or murdered by the Soviet secret police. The speaker is Boris Moros, the former movie producer who was an American counter-spy for 10 years. At last, with security restrictions removed, Moros is able to tell all.
In the new issue of Look magazine, he reveals the day-by-day events of the most bizarre spy story of our time. In this exclusive Look feature, you will sit in on meetings between Moros and Russian spy Jack Sobel in dimly lit New York restaurants. You will learn how Moros helped expose Alfred and Martha Stern, millionaire Red agents. Look tells how Moros went to Paris, Vienna, and even Moscow for meetings with the very heads of the Soviet secret police. How was Moros first drawn into the Red Web? How did Moros convince the Russians that he could be trusted? Don't miss this dramatic story, My 10 Years as a Counter Spy, by Boris Moros, now on the current issue of Look magazine. It's the issue with the new 1958 cars on the cover. Get Look at your newsstand now. Now, Act 3 of tonight's story, Jailbait.
Our second day in Los Angeles, Thompson of our New York field office phoned. Mr. Emilios, the restaurant owner, had received a package from Amy with a note in it. The package contained a sweater, which Amy said Mr. Emilios needed. The sweater had been bought at a fashionable men's shop in Beverly Hills. Agent Reynolds and I, being through with our testimony in court, went to the shop immediately. We found that the purchaser answered Amy's description perfectly. She had been accompanied by Roland Carter, the screen star, and the sweater had been charged to his account. We decided to call on Mr. Carter.
Okay, you wanted to talk about Mr. Carter, so talk.
Well, all I wanted to say is you never told me what was cooking, that's all.
What do you mean, Amy?
With Roland. How are you going to take him for $10,000 on account of his attentions to me? Hey, look it. Mala Powers has a different suit again this morning.
Don't say, hey, look it.
Okay. Well, anyways, that's what I wanted to talk about.
Who told you?
Mindy told me.
Who is this?
He's Roland's agent, and he's real cute. And he thinks maybe he can get me a test at Paramount.
Oh, I see.
Well, I told him I can't act, but he said that's an advantage sometimes. I like Mindy. I mean, he's no James Dean, but he's got an attractive personality.
Amy, what do you want?
Well, if you're going to get all that money from Roland, I ought to get some.
How much did you have in mind?
Half.
I see. And if I don't give you half?
A third, then.
And if I don't give you a third or even $5?
Well, in that case...
You miserable little platinum pipsqueak. I've got a good mind to ship you right back to that coal heap where I found you.
I'm entitled to my cut. Mindy gets 10% of Roland.
Never mind, it's Mindy.
He's cute.
You get whatever I give you, Amy, and that's that.
Okay.
Okay what?
Okay, you give me what you give me.
I don't like the way you say that.
Why?
Because.
Hey, look at my... Lily, I'm going to quit saying that. I positively am. I got to have acceptable grammar, Mindy says. Hey, is that the right time? I gotta get out of here.
Where are you going?
I don't know. Mindy says it's a secret. But I got a pretty good idea. Only I can't tell you.
12 hours after we had talked to the clerk at the men's shop, we located Roland Carter at a fashionable nightclub. Shortly after, we were at Mr. Carter's house, where we heard the blackmail story. Reluctantly, Carter agreed to help us trap Lily Sanders by paying her with marked money.
I've thought over your proposition, Miss Sanders, and I'll be ready with the money on Monday morning.
You're a very sensible man, Mr. Carter. I'll be at your house at 11. And remember small bills, will you?
And 500 makes 10,000. You are counted, Miss Sanders.
I trust you, Mr. Carter. And if it's short, I can always come back for more.
Yes, yes, that's what they tell me. I really shouldn't be paying this because it's only the beginning.
Not with me. When I agree to kill a story, I kill it.
But you'll admit this really is a form of blackmail.
Just between you and me, I don't admit anything, Mr. Carter.
Well, you don't have to. That money will do the talking. All right, gentlemen.
What?
Miss Sanders, this is Agent Reynolds and this is Agent Stevens of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. That money you just put in your purse is marked, Miss Sanders.
You crummy old hand. That's the lousiest trick I ever saw.
Can we have the money, please, Miss Sanders?
You ought to be ashamed of yourself, Carter.
I am, but it's going to be a lot worse when I have to testify against you.
Bet your life it will be.
Come along, Miss Sanders.
What a low-down, sneaky stunts. This takes the cake. No wonder you're poisoned at the box office.
I am not poisoned. Why, my last picture grossed over...
Carter, let's discuss this downtown. We'd like to book this woman.
For what?
Blackmail.
I demand to see a lawyer. I've been trained.
Excuse me a moment. Hello? Oh, yes, yes, yes. This is he. Yes, go ahead. It's a telegram. I'll be with you in a moment. Yeah, I'm listening. Yes. Yes, yes, I get that. Oh, thank you very much. It was a telegram from my agent. He advises me not to pay Miss Sanders the money. He just got married in Mexico and he'll be back tomorrow. He says love from his wife, the former Miss Coalheaver of Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Mindy.
Yes, sugar.
You sure they can't put me in the lockup?
Oh, I'm sure, sugar. I got the best lawyer in the state. And he says if we can prove that you didn't know what Lily was doing, they can't nick you.
Yeah, but I did encourage Roland, didn't I?
Sugar, encouraging Roland is practically a national pastime.
Gee, Mindy, I sure wouldn't want to get you in trouble being your wife and all.
Ah, don't worry. When you're a big, glamorous screen star...
Mindy, you know what? I've been thinking that over. I don't want to be a star.
What then?
I want to be a housewife. Is that awful?
Well, out here it can get you talked about, but we'll live through it.
Oh, gee, Mindy, you sure are cute. Hey, look it! A cow!
Emmy, that's a horse, not a cow. And how many times have I told you, sugar, don't say, hey, look it.
When Lily Sanders was charged with blackmail, she considered the evidence and decided to plead guilty. In doing so, she absolved Amy Briskey of any knowledge of the scheme. Lily was sentenced to 3 years in prison, and Amy, now a housewife, is plain Mrs. Smith and no longer jailbait. Singing star Tony Bennett.
Every singer dreads a bad cold. That's why I always stop cold miseries the fastest way, with Four Ways.
Yes, of all leading cold tablets, tests prove Four Ways the fastest acting brand. Amazing Four Ways starts in minutes to relieve aches, pains, headache, reduce fever, calm upset stomach, overcome irregularity.
Next time you catch cold, do what I do. Get Four Ways, fastest way to stop these awful cold miseries and feel better in a hurry.
Four Way, only 29 cents.
Our program will continue in a moment after a word about another fine product of Grove Laboratories. Afraid to use a strong medicated shampoo for dandruff? Listen. Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo gets rid of embarrassing dandruff with one lathering and uses no harsh medication. In fact, only Fitch guarantees to remove dandruff with one safe, easy lathering or money back. Fitch can also make your hair as much as 35% brighter. Contains no strong medication, gentle enough for every shampoo. And then dandruff need never be a problem again. Get wonderful new Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today. Characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based upon Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War, and the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. This is Warren Sweeney inviting you to listen to next week's story, The Amnesiac, on the FBI in Peace and War. Same time, same station.
This is the CBS Radio Network.